Good morning. Will you turn to Galatians chapter 5, please? Galatians chapter 5. This is the flesh and the spirit. Our lives are a battleground between the flesh and the spirit. Each one of us individually lives with the flesh pulling one way and the Holy Spirit pulling the other way. I'm talking about believers now, followers of the Lord. And our church, as a body, a church family, is its own battleground between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh in Galatians 5 is not our physical body. It's our human readiness to sin, our weakness when we are tempted, so that we often yield to temptation. We quickly do the wrong thing. That's the flesh. In Galatians 5, Paul treats the flesh like a force, pulling us away from the spirit's leading. In this scripture, Galatians 5, there's no key to success. There's no formula or recipe that if we just do this or that, we will always produce the fruit of the Spirit. Still, we do need to know how the flesh acts, and on the other side, we need to know what the Spirit wants to do among us. And we are not helpless in this. We can make choices, and the Spirit will always help us. So we're reading Galatians 5 today because next Sunday is our covenant Sunday, and our covenant with each other tells God and one another that we are resolved to live out the fruit of the Spirit with each other, and we are resolved to avoid the works of the flesh. Our covenant puts the fruit of the Spirit into a different package, but it's saying pretty much the same thing. So the problem in Galatia was biting and devouring, provoking and envying. That's what they were doing to each other. So I'm going to read from chapter 5, verse 15 and verse 26. Verse 15, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. Verse 26, let's not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So biting, devouring, provoking, envying. So Paul does not actually say that this is happening there, but given how this whole chapter reads, there's not really any doubt. Relationships between Galatian believers were rocky. They were going at each other far too much. And that's why he teaches them about the flesh and the spirit. So that's the problem that he is correcting with this teaching. The opening summary is, we are free so we can serve one another. This is chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. This opening paragraph packs the whole teaching into a few lines. It's an opening summary. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free from the law of Moses, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. In the Bible, freedom is not so we can do what we want. God frees us so that we can enter a better service. Freedom is not so we can do what we want. God frees us from one thing so we can enter a better service. Indulging the flesh means we bite and devour each other, and we end up destroying each other. And that is the wrong use of freedom. Instead, serve one another humbly in love. And this way, we fulfill what the law wanted all along. This is a remarkable statement, although not more than what Jesus himself said. Gentile believers, like the Galatians and like us, are not under the law of Moses at all. But Paul will not leave it there. If the Spirit leads us to serve one another humbly in love, then we will be doing what the law wanted more than anything else. We will be fulfilling the law. As we have seen before, in the New Testament letters, neighbor is always another believer. So, now we get to the longer section, the daily battle and the solution. This is verses 16 to 18. The daily battle and the solution. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So, the Spirit and the flesh want opposite things. The flesh wants us biting and devouring each other, and the Spirit wants us to serve one another humbly in love. And as a result, we cannot just go through life doing whatever we want. Sometimes we may want to do the right thing, and that's good, but other times we will want to do what's wrong. So what do we do? Paul says the same thing, similar thing, basically in three different lines. We walk by the Spirit, verse 16. We are led by the Spirit, verse 18. We keep in step with the Spirit, verse 25. So the answer about this battle is not to go back to the law. No, the answer is the Holy Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. And how do we know if we're walking by the Spirit and being led by the Spirit? Do we get some special Holy Spirit tingling or some feeling in our heart that for sure this is the Holy Spirit? No. Those things might happen, but that is not how this scripture works. Paul will list the works of the flesh, and then he will list the fruit of our spirit. When our actions produce the works of the flesh, we are not being led by the Spirit. When our actions produce the fruit of the Spirit, we are being led by the Spirit, and we are walking by the Spirit. So we will know whether we are being led by this flesh or the Spirit by the result of our works and actions. He opens the next line with, the acts of the flesh are obvious. And this scripture will spell it out, two lists, a flesh list and a spirit list, so we will be able to recognize in ourselves and others whether the flesh guides us or whether the Spirit, because they are both obvious. So the acts of the flesh. Now we're looking at verses 19 to 21 of Galatians 5. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you now, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. There are several lists like this in the New Testament, and it's good for us to read these lists out once in a while. As God's people, my brothers and sisters, we name the things we will not do. We name the things God calls us to avoid. We say them out loud. Every believer is uncomfortable with something on this list, including me. Something we struggle with. This list somewhere feels too close to home. That's just how it is. Flesh is still working in us. Nevertheless, we name the things God has told us not to do. And if we compare this list to other similar lists, one thing stands out in this list and makes it different. Eight of these terms describe relational troubles, problems between people, the thing that plagued the Galatian believers: hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy. See, all of these are the opposite of serve one another humbly in love. It does not matter how righteous it feels, it is the flesh. I have heard people say, this is on a different note, I was serving the Lord, but I was doing it in the flesh and not by the Spirit. And that's why it was so hard and I got tired. I was doing it in the flesh. That is wrong, people. Wrong thinking, people. The Bible doesn't say that. The flesh never does the right thing. The flesh never serves the Lord. Sometimes what the Spirit leads us to do is hard work and exhausting, and sometimes it comes more naturally and is a joy. Either way, it is the Spirit, because the flesh never desires to do the right thing. This list has told us what the flesh produces, and it is not that. I warn you now, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a frightening line, isn't it? Galatian believers reading this letter are doing some of these things: hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, and so on. Paul does not tell them they won't be saved or that they've lost out on the kingdom. I don't know where to draw the line here, and Paul was not interested on that either. Listen, that's God's business to draw the line. Still, there are sometimes people in the church who will not inherit the kingdom of God, and it will be for reasons like this. We all struggle with something here, and the kingdom is a kingdom of forgiveness. But let's make sure we understand that the Lord has called us away from these things. The fruit of the Spirit, verses 22 to 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let's not be conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Love, joy, peace. These are not describing how the Spirit makes us feel. This is not telling us that if we're led by the Spirit, we will feel loving and joyful and peaceful. Our whole scripture today talks about what's going on in the group and in the congregation. When the Spirit produces His fruit in the church, the relationships in the church are loving and peaceful, which brings joy. For the most part, our group atmosphere has much of this. Sometimes it's not true, but usually it is, which is wonderful. But the Holy Spirit wants to guide relationships between believers. That's the fruit. How are we getting along with each other? How do we treat each other? Let's not use our freedom as a chance to let the flesh go wild. Instead, let's serve each other humbly in love. Love, joy, peace, and then patience. In some churches, there are people that drive you nuts. They're horribly irritating. I know that we never have people like that in our church, but it does happen in other churches. And when there are people like that, the Spirit leads us to patience. We gently bear with these people. In Ephesians, we read, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." That's patience. My brothers and sisters, living out the fruit of the Spirit can be very hard work. At different points in your life, you have been patient with difficult and abrasive believers. That is not easily done, is it? Especially when it goes on for a while. And folks, at one time or another, we ourselves have, each one of us, been abrasive and irritating. Love and joy and peace happen in the congregation only when there is also much patience, the kind that bears with one another in love. Don't read this fruit of the Spirit list and imagine something dreamy and idyllic, and don't get sentimental. Spirit fruit regularly takes real effort. The last fruit of the Spirit is self-control. The Spirit produces self-control. So are we controlling ourselves, or is the Spirit? The answer is that the Spirit leads us and helps us to control ourselves. And now we're talking about the people who are irritating and abrasive, and they're so different, which we all are once in a while, and we will be irritated with them and be ready to respond with the works of the flesh. And the Spirit will say, don't do it. Keep still. Don't say a thing. Not a thing. That's the Spirit producing self-control. If there will be love and joy and peace in the church, there will also be plenty of patience and self-control. And when we do speak, it will be gently and humbly, though we feel no love whatsoever at that moment. That is the fruit of the Spirit. I read a commentary that said the first fruit of the Spirit and the last were the most important. Love and self-control. As far as the Galatian believers were concerned, love and self-control were arguably the most important. The first time I read that, it seemed unlikely, but it has grown on me. Love and self-control go hand in hand. And I will mention one more, and that's faithfulness. The Spirit produces people who are faithful. People who are faithful in the congregation are so wonderful. They keep showing up. They keep doing what they do, whatever their role is in the body. Much of this happens in our Sunday gathering, but a lot happens in other ways as well that the rest of us never see. Faithful people. The church needs them, and God uses them. And if you are faithful, then sometimes you're doing what you do when you don't want that. Yes, you want to serve the Lord in the big picture, but not today, please. But it's time to do what you do, and so you do it. And that's the Spirit leading you on the days you want that and on the days you don't. And the Spirit produces your faithfulness in order to bring God's life to the rest of us. So let's walk by the Spirit. Let's be led by the Spirit. Let's keep in step with the Spirit. And this scripture has told us what it looks like when we keep in step with the Spirit, and what it looks like when we don't. We need the Spirit to lead and guide and help us, and we also need to be taught what it looks like and what it looks like when we don't. Marriage. Every marriage has difficult times, tension and pain. Let us not suppose that what God said to spouses is any different than what he says to churches. Every married couple needs to take Galatians 5 home with them. And never mind anyone else's marriage, or never even mind your spouse. This is God speaking to me. The flesh and the Spirit is God speaking to me about my marriage. And I want to have a little note here at the end about miracles and gifts of the Spirit. The Galatians and the Corinthians get special mention as churches having miracles and gifts of the Spirit on a regular basis in their church life. In the other letters, this does not come up, but we know these two churches had miracles and gifts of the Spirit. And these two congregations, the Corinthian and the Galatian, also had the worst relationships with each other. We've read today about the Galatians, and the Corinthians were no better. They both had miracles and the dramatic spiritual gifts and experiences, and at the same time, they were not walking by the Spirit or being led by the Spirit or keeping step with the Spirit. So miracles and gifts of the Spirit are very good. Everything the Spirit does is good, and I'd be happy to see more of it here. But don't confuse the Spirit's miracles and gifts with the Spirit's fruit, or being led by the Spirit, or keeping in step with the Spirit. Those are different things. So, let's walk by the Spirit. Let's be led by the Spirit. Let's live out the fruit of the Spirit in our homes and in our church. Let us thank God for all the times this very thing has happened. God has equipped us for doing His will, and by His Spirit, He has worked in us what pleases Him, and for this we will thank Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for every time we have said no to the flesh and have lived out what the Spirit produces. We have not done that every time, not at all, but with your help we often have. And Father, forgive us our sins, as we forgave those who sinned against us. We are not blameless, and please lead us out of the places where we often fail. And thank you for the Holy Spirit, and for all the Spirit has done among us. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the God of peace equip us with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what pleases him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.